This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
From ESPN Studios in New York City, it is Alan Hahn, it is Bart Scott, it is Barton Hahn. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Man, Bart.
Way to take the what irony last yesterday.
Man, I'm telling you.
The black guy works on Martin Luther King Day, the white guy gets a day.
We're going to do this?
I'm just playing.
The white guy was at the Garden for an afternoon game that celebrates Martin Luther King. And in fact, it was a tradition that was started in that very building that the NBA plays on that day in the matinees. Is that how we're going to begin this today, man? Like, is that what we're doing?
I'm just playing. I'm taking Christopher Columbus Day off. You can guarantee it.
Yeah, I might too. Actually, I do get that day off, don't I?
Oh,
you know what, though? Honestly, I did regret missing yesterday.
Oh, it was so much.
Because of what happened Sunday. And I felt like I missed out. Like, I really had that. I had FOMO going on that whole morning. Because I'm preparing for a game, you know, Knicks, Hornets, and LaMelo's not even playing. I'm like, man, like, I need to be with Bart right now. We got to be talking some NFL because, Bart Stradamus. I mean, did you go 3 for 3?
I think I'm 3 for. I told you what I tell you happens to mac and cheese in the cold weather. Mm. It gets brittle and it breaks and it broke. Just like Bart Stradamus said, he batting 1,000, a.k.a. Sammy Sosa on his good, happy year.
And the 49ers. And the 49ers. I don't want to say Dallas. I want to give you credit for the Niners instead of saying that the Cowboys cowboyed.
Yeah.
But
they try to make an excuse about it, like they were going to make the Hail Mary. They still had to throw a Hail Mary.
Man, how about not take 14 penalties? How about not hands to the face? How about let's not tackle an offensive lineman for no reason?
Oh, man.
Like, let's not do that. Like, that's what I love about that game, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking me through the last 14 seconds of a game where it still was going to take a miracle throw
to win, just a tie.
Yeah, just a tie.
Because their kicker had missed extra points.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it was going to take a miracle still. Even if you did get the spike and had a second.
Yeah.
It was still going to take like a oh my god play.
Yeah.
So
are you familiar with the 10-year challenge going on?
I am.
Like, so it's like a 10-year challenge. Like, you show a picture of yourself 10 years ago, and then you show your picture now.
If I did that, I would look older 10 years ago.
They did a Dallas Cowboys edition with Tony Romo sitting on the bench with his head down. And then now they got Dak Prescott with his head down. But what I don't like, Dak Prescott, instead of taking ownership of it, he wants to make an excuse about it. He wants to blame the referee. Right? And me and Rex talked about it last night on our podcast, Organized Chaos, Shameless Plug. So what? Right? So
no, keep plugging.
So,
it's all right.
So
it's a great podcast.
When we used to have practice on Fridays for situational football, we would have local referees come do the practice.
Yep.
Why? Because there's certain things that you have to understand about referees and how they're operating procedure. So I'm assuming that when Dallas did it, they did it without referees, so then they just give it to the center and he spots the ball. What happens is when you get under duress, all your training kicks in and you do what you used to do.
Muscle memory.
So in practice, when they practice that play, I'm sure Dak gives it to the center, he spots the ball, and then they did it. That's what he did, because the proper thing to do is, like Larry Fitzgerald, find the referee, hand him the ball, tell the guard or the center to open up sideways so that he can spot the ball. The referee did the right job. He didn't try and go back behind the line, because usually that's where he's supposed to be.
Yep.
He disappeared into the distance so that you can get the snap off to spot it, to spike it. And listen, I was saying, you know, Dak should have slid earlier, but listening to Steve Young saying that takes 17 seconds, listening to Rex Ryan saying it takes 16 seconds, like – was those 5 more yards really worth it to throw a Hail Mary?
I am not. Like I said, I feel
we're making excuses for them and ignoring the fact that they got their ass kicked.
Well, that's what but see, I'm going back to that. I'm sorry. No offense.
Yeah.
You and a lot of my favorite people that work here that do NFL analysis. Yesterday, and I consumed as much as I could before I had to go on air, I couldn't believe how much time we spent on that play.
Right.
When I was screaming at the television, guys, 14 penalties.
Yep.
Like some of the dumbest ones too. Not even like to say, well, you know, there were a couple that were close. No, there was some in crunch time. Them are the dumbest things. And I always say the same thing too. Dan Quinn wants to get a job. Hey, you're either coaching it or you're letting it happen.
Exactly.
So you have a defense that had moments this year, yeah. but yet still wasn't ranked in the top two-thirds of the league.
Right.
And then on top of it, one of the most undisciplined teams in the league.
And defense.
And I'm going to bring you in now and run my team?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Hey, Giants, if you're thinking about this, bad yeah. idea.
And we want to give him credit for what Kyle Shanahan did in getting him to the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're talking about Atlanta. Yeah. yeah all right,
because it was about Kyle Shanahan and that offense and Matt Ryan being the MVP of the league
having a
that
year.
Got him there. It's not because that defense, because that defense has been horrible.
Oh, excuse me. That defense had what was the lead again?
Oh, yeah, 28 points.
What was the lead in the Super Bowl?
28-3 and gave it up barbecue chicken.
All of it.
They got toasted.
All of it back.
Toasted.
So, again.
That's perception is not reality. Perception is not reality.
So that's the Cowboys, and that's the disaster that they are. And, of course, I know you guys probably did this ad nauseum yesterday with the calls and all that, but I'm sure people still want to discuss it. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, of course, is the number. But now there's another team that you have been very critical of all year.
Can we get your boy on now? Let's see what he thinks about me now and my assessment of Baby Mandalorian, a.k.a. Baby Yoda.
I don't think you can call him Baby Yoda. He's more like Mogwai. He can't be Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda would see things coming. Baby Yoda would know, don't throw that ball, man. Take the safety.
He threw a hook shot.
Or just throw it in the ground.
The shortest pick six in the history. Like, he caught it on the one-inch line.
Now, I'll give him credit, though. What anticipation skills and the quickness to get to that. Like, his eyes were, like, wide open when he saw
he's
that.
Like, he's just, like, I know he's not going to do it. He's like, he's going to throw it. He's going to throw it. It was like a hook shot.
Yeah. So the assessment of this game last night, the Rams. Now, this is Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless. The Rams, is this the Rams won or the Cardinals lost? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
both.
Did the Rams really dominate, or were the Cardinals just that bad?
Both. And listen, a lot of times we throw that boy wonder, boy genius around, and we threw it on Kingsbury.
Yep.
We throw it on Zach Taylor. We throw it on Matt LaFleur, right? But Matt LaFleur didn't do it without, you know, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game, right? You know, we know that Joe Burrow is big time. When I say that, I talk about guys that can overcome the X and O's, you know what I mean, and can take the regular Joes and make them great. Like, we've kind of thrown a lot on Kyler Murray, but I told you he's super streaky, and we talk about his durability, we talk about his size, his height, and, you know, they made him throw from the pocket, and he couldn't get it done from the pocket. He panicked. And listen, I understand also he's a young quarterback. We talked about Matthew Stafford not playing, you know, not winning a playoff game. Well, you know, Kyler Murray had never been in one before, and he panicked. And he doesn't handle
and
things.
We've seen
he's a guy that he's the type of quarterback that compounds bad things. He's not a guy that spins it around. He starts to pout, his body language gets bad.
And you called him out for that even last year about that. Now, again, when it comes to all these first-year quarterbacks, the first experienced quarterbacks, guys, like, you know, for Kyler it was a rough one. For Mac it was a rough one. You know, you were seeing some guys, Jalen Hurts, it was a bit of a rough one as well.
That pressure get real.
Like, it does happen. Joe Burrow was not difficult for him. You know, there's just certain quarterbacks that in their first experience, you could just see. It's a lot different when you play in the playoffs. You certainly know that. Matthew Stafford does get that first playoff win, a big one for him and a big one for the Rams, kind of tone setter for a team that at the beginning of the season we thought could be a Super Bowl contender. But he's saying it's just one win.
I think it means a lot more to – I mean, you guys and all that. I mean, I just want to be a part of this team and help us win. So I trust in myself, trust in my abilities, trust in my teammates. I'll go out there and play and let the chips fall where they may.
On the other side of it, you have J.J. Watt, who has been through all the wars, of course, especially with the Houston Texans.
He came back.
Yeah, and he came back, wanted to be part of something special with the Cardinals, hoping that he could latch on to something and give them that boost that they needed on the defensive side. The Cardinals struggle down the stretch of the season. There's no doubt about that.
Every year they burn out.
And that's just like the Cowboys. It's just that they're those teams that do you trust them when it comes to December.
You know what that tell you?
What does it tell you?
It tells you they're front runners.
Well, I mean, they're different people each year.
No. They're front runners. I'm saying the teams and environments, they don't have that toughness. That's what J.J. Watt was supposed to bring in. But J.J. Watt's never showed toughness in the playoffs. He hasn't really done a lot in the playoffs as well, right? He hasn't led a team. You talk about A.J. Green. Well, A.J. Green was on great teams that won divisions with Andy Dalton, got to the postseason, but he never won one. They don't have that experience. And, man, if you want to talk about a play that defined the night, woo! I don't know where Cam Akers went. I don't know if he called Wes Welker's doctors, if he called Kobe's doctors, or what kind of stuff they sprinkled after they cut him open to fix that Achilles tendon. But, man, I hope that Buda Baker's okay. But when you take their hardest hitter, their enforcer, and you step on him like that, almost to he's motionless, he's down for the count. It's like, what else can anybody do? That's your leader. Boom, that's your leader. That took their hearts out.
He was carted off
the
field.
And they knew they wanted no more smoke after that.
Taken to
talk about setting the tone. And if Cam Akers can give you that type of man, this dude had Achilles surgery this year.
No, that part's amazing. And then to see some
and he
of
looks
the,
faster.
Some
what
of
did
the
they
videos
do?
That he posted as well. It really
it's
is amazing.
It's Sony Michel.
All right, that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No
Sorry,
contract,
I'm all over the
no
place, man.
Compromise.
Man, it's too juicy.
You're all fired up. So let's bring in Keyshawn Johnson right now, who joins us. And Key has also said the same things about the Cardinals this year, about how they are a team that will let you down. And Key, pretty clearly, they let their fans down again.
Yeah. But before we get going, you know, some of us do work for a living. And having producers bugging the bleep out of me while I'm trying to do First Take isn't going to make me respond any faster. So you let your producer know that on Tuesdays I am working.
We sorry, Keyshawn. We apologize for
I have to laugh.
You know, not
now,
getting
this right. To answer your question.
Can we proceed?
To answer your question, the Cardinals ran up against it, right? They were shorthanded losing DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Jalen Ramsey to a degree was going to cancel that out. That was going to count. Because Jalen Ramsey wasn't going to give
it was
up
gonna be a push.
200 yards and two touchdowns. It just wasn't going to happen. He would have got his catches, whatever the case. So you neutralize that. The rest of the team, you can't block 99 and 40. You ain't going to win. You're not going to win because they're there to wreck a game and havoc. What they did that was an amazing job to me is they kept Kyler Murray inside the pocket. He couldn't escape the pocket the way that he wanted to. You know, he carried the ball twice for 6 yards. Kyler Murray, twice for 6 yards because they bottled him up. Not only that, this is the reason I say you can't win in the National Football League with a smallish quarterback. I understand everybody wants to point to Drew Brees or Russell Wilson, which is outliers. First of all, Drew Brees wasn't running around, and Russell Wilson is thicker than Kyler Murray and a little bit taller. And so when you look at it, they got their hands on him. And when they got their hands on him, he decided he wasn't going to run around no more. This was at the beginning of this is during the regular season. When I mean the hands on him, he's been banged up in and out of the lineup. So that negated his ability, which is his strength, which is running the football. He said, well, I ain't going to run no more because I got hurt the last time I kept trying to do this. So that forced him to have to throw from in the pocket. So from throwing from in the pocket, he gets hit, sacked. First thing he does is panic and throw the ball up in the air. I thought it was Carson Wentz who stole his jersey for a minute. then when you look at the interception on the screen pass, because he's in the pocket, he's got to throw over people. So the flight of the ball hits the top of the helmet, bounces into the defensive lineman's hand. So all of those sort of things contributed to why Arizona took the L the way that they did on top of Cliff Kingsbury, bad coaching and no adjustments.
Now, did we give him the guru? Because I feel like he got the guru label as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, way too early.
Give, you know how they're going to do that, though. They're going to always, always give the guru label to them dudes. A guy who probably shouldn't have got the job in the first place because there was more qualified.
Well, Van Joseph
white
got fired
and
after
black
one year.
Coaches, mm-hmm. White and black coaches more qualified than Cliff Kingsbury, who hadn't won anything in college, but yet and still was able to get a plum job as a head coach in the National Football League.
Yeah, he did your USC Trojans a
it's
favor.
It's going to always be mind-boggling to me.
Now, more impressive, right? You know, we talk about all the guys that have come back from injury, to come back and try and contribute. J.J. Watt yesterday, that was a Herculean effort, even though, you know, he didn't have much productivity. Talk about Juju Smith-Schuster. But, man, Cam Akers is the only one that's come back that looks like he's as fast or faster than what he was before the injury. I mean, he had a lot of life in his legs. How far can they go on his legs? Because I think the difference between, you know, McVay's offense and his air raid system is people forget how physical of a run game it is because they think about the numbers and Cooper Kupp. But, you know, when this offense is running well, even when Todd Gurley was there, this is a physical in-between-the-tackles run game.
Well, it's more of the Todd Gurley style. They needed some help in the running game. They picked up Sony Michel through New England, but it gave them something, but it's not giving them nearly what Cam Akers gave them. That's why they drafted him in the second round out of Florida State, which was a first-round grade on him. He's a punishing, smaller back with punishing, bruising style. You clearly saw the aggressive nature in which he took Tar Buda Baker in that particular game. So, you know, I think they can go pretty far on his back. Stafford, OBJ, Jefferson, Higbee, all those guys, Cooper Kupp, they contribute to another level.
That's what I wanted to ask you about is Odell Beckham Jr. Because so much was said about him in Cleveland and how it wasn't working and, you know, was it Baker? And we've seen him since he's been there, even in the regular season. And now we see a performance like this in the playoffs. Well, you know, everybody's got all their focus on Cooper Kupp. And so if you're playing Odell one-on-one, well, okay, I'm throwing that way. And Odell was ready for it, even had, you know, one of the trick plays there as well, got to throw one. But when you see him now with the Rams, is that like now the conversation is, well, that's an indictment on Baker Mayfield. Is it strictly that, Key, or is it just a better fit for him with the Rams?
Well, it's always been a better fit when you have a better quarterback.
That's true.
When you have a better quarterback, you're going to have a better fit. Odell Beckham can play football. That's one thing he can do. And when you are taking that away from him because he doesn't have an adequate QB throwing in the football, you can't blame him, because if you know football, you know it's not him. It's the guy delivering the football. You know, I got a chance to watch the Charger-Cleveland game up close in person. I saw with my own eyes that Baker Mayfield for OBJ wasn't it. He may be for Landry, it may be for Cleveland Browns, but for a guy like Baker Mayfield, it just wasn't going to work out because he didn't put enough emphasis on making sure he does best. It was almost like he deliberately decided to freeze him out at times. And that wasn't going to go over well.
No.
And the one thing that Sean McVay realized is that he has a talent at the receiver position, so he's going to try to utilize OBJ.
Way too early picks, Key. Who's your favorite in the NFC and who's your favorite in the AFC?
I like Kansas City in the AFC. And I like Green Bay and the NFC.
That would be a fun matchup, too, in the Super Bowl. If you're the GM of the Cowboys, how do you handle Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff? What do you do here?
I don't do anything. I hope and pray that I get my coordinators back. I shore up my offensive line, get a little healthier. Tyron Smith, probably ask him to retire. Get a little healthier. Go from there, try to make a decision on what I'm going to do with Cooper, his contract situation. A little pricey. Maybe we come and ask you to give us a hair. But I'm not doing anything with Mike McCarthy. I'm letting him coach my football team, and hope that I get Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore back.
Now we talk about Dan Quinn, but at 19, did he really? I mean, it was nowhere but up for this defense. I mean, you talk about 19th, and yeah, they're opportunistic, but you know, 19th, and we're talking about, you know, giving this guy another head coaching opportunity. You know, when he did lead his team to the Super Bowl, that was more about Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan being an MVP. Are we, like, overvaluing his contribution?
No, I don't think so. I think Dan Quinn is a really good defensive coordinator. You know, he was without Parsons, Gregory, and Lawrence in the lineup for a significant period of time altogether. They've got dramatically improved. So, yeah, no, I think he's a decent head coaching candidate. I don't see why not. I mean, you know, do I think Marvin Lewis should get another shot? Yeah, of course I do. Do I think Jack Del Rio should get another shot? Yeah, I do. But sometimes it don't work out that way.
Leslie Frazier has the number one defense. Leslie Frazier has the number one defense in every category, and he's not really been mentioned, and he's been a head coach before, so he has the same qualifications of Dan Quinn, and we don't even mention those guys. That's the kind of disparity.
Leslie Frazier deserves an opportunity as well. He's in the playoffs, so it's going to be difficult to interview a guy right now and kind of talk to him. You know how you got to go through that whole scenario. But he deserves another opportunity as well.
All right, Q, we appreciate you. I'll make sure I reprimand the producer for bugging you while you were on First Take. But, you know, it's just how important you are to us as a guest, which is why we just wanted to make sure that you were going to be able to make your 12:10 appointment. So yeah. We appreciate you, man.
We got them edible arrangements coming to you, too, bro.
Not only your producer bothering me, then you texting me. As if you don't know that I'm going to be on time. What the hell do you think this is, a ragtag operation or something?
We know, time differences, man. We got some edible arrangements coming to you, man. What you like, strawberries or pineapples?
When you said edible,
no, I don't do either.
All the best, Keith. Thank
nice
you, man.
Try. Goodbye.
If there's something he loves to do the most, it's busting you know what.
Yeah, I know.
That's the one thing he loves to do the most. But anyways, it's always good to have him on. So Keyshawn Johnson, as always, you can hear him in the mornings, KJM on ESPN Radio. All right, so you heard what he said, what he would do with Mike McCarthy. It does sound like his job is safe in Dallas. No changes ahead in Dallas. We'll discuss that. We got your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But first, I do want to tell you that it is time to reset the clock. So if you don't yet have life insurance, listen up, because just a couple minutes out of your day can make a big difference for you and the ones you love. You don't just want any company for your life insurance. You need a pro. You need SelectQuote. For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. Check this out. SelectQuote found a 40-year-old guy with high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's right, $19 a month. Seriously, that's nothing to be able to protect your family. Plus, quotes at SelectQuote are free and take only minutes. Do me a favor. Take a couple minutes out of your day and get your free quote. Call 800-960-3030. 800-960-3030. 800-960-3030. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Full details on sample policy and carrier ratings at selectquote.com/commercials. Price could vary by health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
See, you walked in and you took off your jacket, and I see you in this. It's wool, right? You got wool.
Come on, man, that's disrespectful.
What do you mean?
We got cashmere, baby.
That's cashmere. It's not baby cashmere. No, it looks wool though. It's thick.
It's supposed to look wool. It's heavy cashmere.
It's pilly like wool though. Just saying.
Well, I touch it.
That's nice. Yeah. Okay. Like silk wool.
Yeah. It's like putting, it's like hugging your body, man.
So I will reveal it during the break. I asked Bart, where'd you get it? He gave me the name of the brand. And what I like about that brand is they don't discriminate against tall people.
Yeah, man.
See, people have to understand, if you make clothes and you tell me, oh, yeah, we've got your size. We have double X and 3X. I'm like, no.
Double X.
Double X means this way.
You need TT, right?
I need, the T is the most important part of that XL, T.
You need TT.
Because I need the length, the sleeve length. That's very important. The body length, very important. Because if a sweater doesn't fit somebody tall the right way, especially when you're tall and narrow
flooding.
You just look stupid.
You flood it and make it like you got them baby bouncy kickball shoes. Because now your feet look extra big.
Everything looks wrong. Everything looks wrong. Everything. So, but now I'm going to look it up now and see if I can grab me one. That I won't get the same exact one because that doesn't look right. But we found one that on the same label that was this waffle looking thing.
Oh,
and it's cashmere as well. And it has pants to go with it. If I wore that,
it's like pajamas.
I would literally pajamas. I would never be able to work. Like, is that wrong to show up at work just like that?
Nah, man. Listen.
It almost feels like it is.
Listen, most people are working from home. Listen, I commend you for dealing with the traffic to get here. Most people working from TV, they working at home.
Everybody's
radio, they working at home.
Now, right? Everybody does that. I just, you know why I'm here? Because I like to be in the same room with you doing shows.
Yeah, man.
I think there's something very important about
that. Something magical happens when I can look into them husky blue eyes.
That's why I'm here. Oh! Stephen Jones. So, all right, so let's start it this way. Jerry Jones usually makes his appearance on his radio show in Dallas.
Yes.
And talks. He did not do that this time after the loss at the end of the season. He canceled it this week. And what's interesting about that is he doesn't normally do that, but the last time he did, Jason Garrett was fired. So that has everybody now going,
2019.
What does this mean? Well, I don't think it means anything because Stephen Jones didn't miss his appearance on 105.3 The Fan. And so when he talked about Mike McCarthy, he said this.
You know, at the end of the day, to have such a really nice season, to have it end so abruptly and certainly so disappointing not to get that, you know, that bear off our back in terms of our success in the playoff, it's disappointing.
Are you confident that Mike McCarthy will continue to lead this team next season?
Absolutely. Very confident.
And there you go. I mean, if he's saying that, and Jerry, right after the game, said this is not the time to talk about that stuff. The sense is they will not be making major changes. Now, Kellen Moore, Dan Quinn, they're going to be in the coaching hire cycle. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. But I heard, you know, Key was saying this this morning that Jerry Jones is going to, if he likes his coaching staff, he'll pay to keep them.
Yeah, but that's one thing. He'll pay to keep him. I remember when the Ravens tried to hire Jason Garrett and make them the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Jerry Jones made him assistant head coach and made him the highest paid assistant.
There you go.
But that still isn't the same caveat as being a head coach, right? They're money. You know, he's not going to pay them more than what they'll make as a head coach. Like, you know, because then that means arguably they're going to be making more than Mike McCarthy.
But I guess what it is most teams that are hiring a coach, their situations aren't great. So would you rather stay
normally,
here and take another shot at it?
Normally it's not great.
Pay you very well?
Normally it's not great. You don't think the Miami Dolphins job is a great job? You don't think the Denver Broncos is a great job? You have every great quarterback that's disgruntled hoping and wishing that they can come play for the Denver Broncos. That's a great job. You don't
well,
think
they've been waiting to get that quarterback for quite a while.
Yeah,
now.
But remember last year, Deshaun Watson had them on the list.
I know.
Russell Wilson had them on the list.
Listen, I can't.
A-Ron had them on the list. So
I can't have Deshaun Watson as somebody that's at the top of my list of off-season acquisitions until everything
well,
that he's dealing
you got
with
about a month.
Is behind
well,
him.
Well, you got about a month.
Yeah, that's right.
Right,
it was February, wasn't it?
February.
Yeah.
So you got about a month. That's right. Why they're saying
we'll think about
trading him before free agency starts.
Well, why am I taking that job if I don't know who my quarterback's going to be?
I mean, because
I'd be a little nervous.
Because you got options. You got Russell Wilson that you know that seems like that relationship's coming to an end. I mean, and also, you don't think the Raiders job is a great plushy job? I mean, you're getting Derek Carr, you're getting a team that lost their number one first-round draft pick at receiver, lost their crazy quarterback.
Raiders' job is good. I do hope Bisaccia gets it, though. I kind of feel he's done. Not, why
Mike,
you saying
Mike,
it like that?
Mike Mayock's gone.
That says
they're
a lot.
Cleaning house. The new GM is going to appreciate what Bisaccia done. You can stay on as my special teams coordinator. That will keep you that way. You can stay in the same job. You know, when Rex came over, they kept Brian Schottenheimer. Right?
Yeah.
And I think that when a new coach come over, they'll say, listen, Bisaccia, they love you. They'll play hard for you. You know this roster intimately. You can stay. Because, you know, he still is a great special teams coach. But at the end of the day, if you're a general manager, you're bringing in your guy.
I got you. All right. I mean, we'll see what happens there. But you're right. The Mayock move kind of suggests that they're going to try to do a whole thing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Let's grab some calls here. Let's start off, since we were on this topic of the Cowboys, with Randy in Texas. Randy.
Randy Watson.
How you doing?
All right.
Hey, I think we need to get rid of Dak. He's not. Every time we play a good defense, he lays an egg. He was a fourth rounder for a reason. He's a good quarterback. He's a good backup, but he just don't have it when it comes to.
Did you say backup?
He does not. He don't have it.
Well, let him finish.
He's a good backup.
So are you saying it factor like in the big moment? Like, is that what you mean? Like when the pressure's on, he doesn't come through?
Yeah,
or are you suggesting that? So he's got talent.
No, he's not.
Go ahead.
You're right. He don't come through. He gets confused. He gets rattled. He can't play against good defenses. If you look about all his games, he's laid an egg on all good defenses every time.
Well, Tampa Bay, he lit Tampa Bay up game one.
Did they win or lose the game?
Okay. They lost. But okay, to your point, though.
I think what I'm saying is something to a fair point, though.
It's something
you,
to
Randy.
What you're saying about Randy. But this is the thing. If you didn't have Dak, then who was going to be your quarterback? Because it wasn't any available, right? Unless you wanted to take Russell Wilson up on his offer of having you on his list. Yeah. So now what you have to say is, and listen, is Dak Prescott a superstar? No. I think right now, if people
but
had
– But he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So
right.
If de facto, he is a superstar.
But he's not a superstar talent, right? I don't think Dak could ever be – I don't think Dak could ever crack the top 10. And I think now when you throw Deshaun Watson back into it, if he gets back into football, now you got Joe Burrow, who I think people would take Joe Burrow before they would take Dak Prescott.
Oh, I think so, too.
I think people would take Justin Herbert before they take Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
So Dak Prescott has fallen to that place where he's – Could you argue Derek Carr?
There you go. He's
in that middle of the pack.
Is he not in the top 10? Is he in that second
10? He's above Kirk Cousins.
So he's 11 through 15.
Yes.
I think that's fair. And I think what he's saying is not completely out of – like, but they have not beaten great teams. They have beat up on their division, which sucks.
Yeah.
And I'll add this part. That doesn't mean, though, that they should give up on him because he's 28 years old. How much – this is another playoff game, yes. No. But it's got to eventually evolve, and it's not always him. His offensive line was not good.
Yeah.
They got manhandled.
Connor Williams is, you know, Tyron Smith.
Major issue,
you know, is now Key said, tell him to retire. He's not retirement bait. I think he's just a restructure bait because he's making $100 million. He's a guy that you have to get some money for if you want to be able to retain a guy like Gallup or if you want to let Gallup go who's injured. But you have to go out. Listen, when Travis Frederick retired because of his illness, that hurt that line because that's what made them solid. And when you had Travis Frederick at center, then you had Martin right there. Like, you had the Great Wall of China right there. That was an impenetrable type of thing.
They were good.
Two nasty guys.
They were good most of this year. They had injuries like they have, but they really got manhandled.
Well,
in this
Chandler
game.
Jones. It started with Chandler Jones that really, like, when they played the Cardinals, Chandler Jones put a whooping on Tyron Smith.
We got to leave it right there, but we will continue this conversation. We also have more.
Randy.
As Bart mentioned, though, the Raiders did clean house, so now it's not only just a head coach they might be looking for; it is also a GM. Changes around the league. So, what do the Raiders do going forward? What do the Cowboys do going forward? You can't just bring everybody back. So what should they do going forward? Continue with your calls. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV. And if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio. Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. So as we look at head coach openings now, that the Raiders have cleaned house, they need a GM now, not just a head coach. And we'll see if Bisaccia stays or if he goes. It all depends on, I think, who they bring in at the very top. Remember, it was John Gruden was running the organization as the head coach, and he brought Mayock in to be his GM to run his draft.
Fresh off, never with any general manager experience, kind of like John Lynch, fresh off the tube.
Yeah, just brought him in to run the draft because that was his expertise. So with that in mind, it remains to be seen, all right, do they go with, give me somebody that's the football guy, and then he'll hire the coach or make the decision on the coach? I mean, that's what you're waiting on that front.
Yeah.
But we've got eight potential openings now, eight of them. And all of them you can make cases for being a good job or being a bad job.
Yeah.
Out of the eight, which is the best one, Bart?
Well, for me, I got to go number one with Denver. Just simply because I believe that Denver, you know, has great salary cap flexibility. They got Von Miller off the books, was able to get some draft picks for him. You know, you got Chubb. They got young, talented defensive players. They have probably the best set of skill or top five best skill sets when you think about Sutton, you think about Jerry Judy. I mean, I'm sorry, you think about CeeDee Lamb.
We know about
Jerry Judy.
We know about them. Who's the best fit for that?
Oh, man. Like, you want somebody that's going to try and enhance that offense because the defense and somebody who can build a staff. I mean, I think Brian Flores would be great there. You know what I mean? Because I think he can go in and he can bring somebody over to run the offense. He can kind of solidify that defense. And, you know, who can he bring over with him offensively is the key.
What would be the second best job? Would you say, would it be Minnesota? Would it be the Raiders?
I would go with the Raiders.
Raiders? Because it's a playoff team.
Yeah, it's a playoff team, but also you think that you're going to have, you know, Ruggs' salary off the books. They don't have a lot of high-priced players. Remember, they got rid of Rodney Hudson, you know, traded him to Arizona. So they got rid of a lot of players. They got Unique Ngakoue. They got Max Crosby there. And, you know, not a lot of guys that they pay a lot of money. This is a young football team. So you have salary cap flexibility. And Derek Carr, I think this is his contract got to be coming up, but he's only making like $25 million annually a year. So you got flexibility. You can move on from him if you want to.
Right.
Right? So you can go in. You talk about Russell Wilson having them on the list. We talk about also Brian Flores being connected to Deshaun Watson going wherever Flores goes. You know, so who knows with that, you know. So, I mean, I think that's a great job in a great city with a lot of energy, new facilities.
Is the Raider job going to be like it was with Gruden, where is the head coach is going to be the be-all, end-all, or do you think it goes back to get me a football guy here?
I think it's going to be traditional. It's going to be a traditional sense, I believe.
Okay. Out of these with the young quarterbacks, you have Jacksonville, who obviously has Trevor Lawrence, right? That's a great one. You have Tua in Miami, and then you have Justin Fields in Chicago.
Yeah.
Out of those three. Which one would you say this is the best situation? You have a young quarterback, and you can really do something special pretty quickly.
I'm gonna go with Chicago.
Fields,
because I believe Fields is a special talent. Yeah, you know, I think Herbert is a good talent as well, but Jacksonville has a long way to go. I think you think about Chicago; they're going to have to get rid of a lot of veteran players and start over fresh.
Yeah. But
Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, they got Raekwon Smith.
Yeah.
Like those guys stay.
And you got to rebuild an offensive line. I mean, I think we've learned that.
Got the Jenkins kid from, you know, he had back surgery.
Healthy, right.
Yeah.
That part's most important. Minnesota might be very close as well. We shall
see. A lot of old
talent
over there.
Yeah, certainly is. All right. But we are back in 10 seconds. Spartan Hahn.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Now, as we mentioned, the Raiders, I mean, they've been that team. I mean, think about it. The Gruden stuff was, talk about a distraction at the very beginning, right? Your head coach embroiled in all that controversy, him having to answer things, the owner finally saying, I got to move on from him. He's gone. So that could have derailed your season. It did not. Then Henry Ruggs. And that tragic situation with the accident, which took the life of someone.
Yeah.
This poor young woman.
In his career.
And her pet. And that just, you know, how does that not devastate the whole locker room? Just thinking about just how tragic the whole thing was. And then, of course, you lose him as a player. But, again, I put that secondary compared to the loss of life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, they have had some injuries. But yet they still find a way to make the playoffs. And now they're starting over again with new leadership. So we'll see. But Rich Bisaccia is a guy that you could tell in that locker room after the playoff loss was over.
Yeah.
Everybody to a man was like, we love this guy. Yeah. Like if they kept him,
most
be
people,
fine with it.
Most people love the special team coach because he can relate to everybody because everybody offensively and defensively.
Kind of talks to everybody, right?
Yeah. He's always in there, whether you're the quarterback or you're the holder or whatever, like long snappers. You know, you have a relationship with everybody.
So we'll see what happens with the Raiders situation, but that's yet another franchise now that's looking for a complete start over, just like, again, in New York, the Giants, another example. In Minnesota, another example. In Chicago, another example, right, where you're just cleaning house and starting fresh. Will it work? Let's go to Donovan right now in Virginia with his take on Bisaccia and what the Raiders should do. Donovan?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, as far as like a clean up, like a rebuild, that's like every Raiders fan's like worst nightmare because it's no need to rebuild after we made the playoffs at 10-7, finishing second in the AFC West. Now, I understand like getting rid of Mike Mayock, just the business part, but the players have already said they wanted Rich. We might as well keep the stability here because we got to deal with Mahomes and Herbert for the next year. And we might as well keep Carr. We just made the playoffs with a first-year O-line, and we just rebuilt the defense. Mm. After going through everything we went through, and we still made the playoffs. And we almost won that game, too, man. We don't even care about that whistle, man. We should have won that game on that last drive. But Raider Nation, we here, man. Just keep Bisaccia.
See, just, but what do you think about keeping him on as the special teams coach so he can still keep those relationships? But you have to go in another direction. And, you know, I don't know if you might want to upgrade for Derek Carr as well if those, you know, those options are available.
And, you know what I'm saying, I understand because I was watching his presser. He was like, he understands, like, coaches that might call the offensive play but still the head coach. And as far as Derek Carr, I just don't want to rebuild because we really got to deal with Mahomes and Herbert. And Aaron Rodgers might come here next year.
See, I get what Donovan's saying.
Right, but it's
Donovan, I get it, though. I get what Donovan's saying. I get what Donovan is expressing something that a lot of fans fear. Rebuild means what?
Start over.
You're going to lose.
It doesn't mean that. Like when the Jets came in, they got rid of Eric Mangini. Was that considered a rebuild?
Mm.
That was an upgrade.
One name that's been brought up is Jerod Mayo.
I don't get that one, man. Like, listen, I understand. Like, you know, I think we give too much credit to these Bill Belichick assistants. I mean, I think he would be skipping the line in front of so many qualified people. Whatever happened to Eric the Enemy? What happened to Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles? All these guys deserve opportunities before Jerod Mayo. I'm sure he's a young, you know, up-and-coming coach. It's not his turn.
I tell you what, Todd Bowles, as we saw, as he's already had experience as a head coach, and he goes back to being a coordinator, and he's got an unbelievable defense. They're very good again, always respected.
Leslie Frazier.
Well-liked. If Todd Bowles doesn't get some interviews again, get another shot at things – like that certainly has to happen. Yeah, the Mayo name comes up and it's very interesting, but of course it's that Belichick Patriots thing that everybody's involved in. Will Kevin Durant's injury sway Kyrie Irving to finally get vaccinated so he can join his team full time? He says no. We'll discuss more next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.